The mantle over the fireplace at the little house is long and broad. On it sits the large wooden radio. Often Craig and Jackie, Joan and Patsy sit there too. Today, they're listening to the late afternoon children's programs. First comes the singing lady. She's not very interesting. Then comes Jimmy Allen, the airplane pilot. Then comes Orphan Annie, who advertises Ovaltine, and then Jack Armstrong, who advertises Wheaties, and finally Captain Midnight. What he advertises keeps changing. In the middle of Jack Armstrong, Grandpa bursts through the door. His face is glowing. "Hurry, hurry, hurry," he shouts. "Hurry, come, cubbies, or we'll miss the show." The show? Everyone is electrified. Everyone tumbles off the mantle. "What show, Grandpa?" they cry. But Grandpa isn't paying any attention to their clamors. "Get your coats," he shouts. "Hurry!" They grab their coats and run. "Grandpa's taking us to a show," Patsy yells to Mother. Grandpa's car is outside the gate. They pile in. Grandpa leaps behind the steering wheel, grinds the car into motion, and they're off. "What show?" they ask among themselves. "The movie in town?" But Grandpa never goes to movies. Grandpa turns east on Collie Road, away from town. "No, it isn't the movies. What then?" Clinton is east. Clinton has no movie theater, but maybe a different sort of show is going on there. A visiting carnival? A magician? Or maybe something closer at the Turtle Grange? What kind of show would be going on at the Turtle Grange? Sometimes there are suppers there, but a meal isn't a show. Grandpa speeds up Collie Road, not weaving from side to side as much as usual. He's intent on getting to the show, and he's watching the road. "We don't want it to be over," he cries, his face creased with merriment. "We don't want to be late." Craig and Jackie, Joan and Patsy are wild with curiosity. Grandpa turns at the side road to the Hill Farm. That cuts out Clinton and the Turtle Grange. The four cannot imagine. "It's something at the Hill Farm," Craig cries. But Grandpa speeds past the Hill Farm house and barn. "Then it's in the woods. There's something going on at the cabin," Patsy says. But Grandpa pulls over to the side of the gravel road and stops short before they get to the entrance to the woods. "Here we are," he cries. "Get out." He gets out himself and hurries over the ditch. He holds the barbed wire up for them to roll under. Then Joan holds the fence up for Grandpa to roll under. "Here we are," Grandpa repeats, his face all crinkled and his eyes twinkling. "We're just in time." The four stand bewildered. They are in an ordinary field. There's nothing there. They look all around for the show. They're on the spot that is the highest in the township, maybe in the county. You can almost see Clinton, 8 miles east. You can almost see Janesville, 15 miles north. You can see Rockford, 18 miles south. To the west, you can see Beloit, the Congressional Church steeple, the water towers rising out of the trees 5 miles away over the broad Turtle Creek Valley. They look up at Grandpa puzzled. He's facing town. His weathered face is aglow, not only with Grandpa's usual joy, but with the sunset that is lying in great banners and streamers of orange and gold and tinted clouds with purple edges. And then they know. "The sunset," cries Joan accusingly, and points. And Grandpa nods and laughs silently. "I saw it was going to be a particularly glorious one this evening," he says. "Let's enjoy it together." And he sits down in the alfalfa, glowing. Jackie feels distinct disappointment. Craig complains loudly. Joan grumbles. Patsy says it's a cheat. They can say all this without hurting Grandpa's feelings, for he can't hear the harsh words, and he isn't looking at their faces. He's looking at the sunset. They sit down beside Grandpa and watch the sunset, too. There's nothing else to do. There isn't a tree or shrub or building to impede their view. The sunset is spread out before them from Rockford to Janesville. It slowly moves and changes. It increases to greater brilliance. The sun itself comes from beneath the streaming gold-rimmed clouds. Lies on Beloit like a red egg. then slowly starts sinking behind it. The four cease chafing and are silent for a bit, and then gradually begin pointing out things another may have missed. This cloud bank, that color, this gradual change. Their voices are soft. A kind of timeless peace steals over Jackie. The last sliver of sun disappears, but the show is not yet over. The clouds reflect, change, slowly diminished to brilliance. The pink fades to mauve. The mauve and purple mute to deep blue. The sky darkens. At the north edge of Beloit, the bridge lights over Turtle Creek wink on, making a pearl necklace on the dusky throat of night. Grandpa gets up. The four get up. The show is over. They give Grandpa hugs to let him know they've enjoyed it after all. They climb in the car with Grandpa, and he drives back home. "Thank you for going to the show with me, cubbies," he says, letting them out beside the gate. They go into the little house. It smells of supper. "What was the show?" Mother calls. "Well, Grandpa took us to the highest point by the hill farm," says Joan. "And we were in a field, and there wasn't anything there, not even a bird's nest," Patsy continues. "And then it gradually dawned on us," says Jackie. "No," says Craig, "it sunsetted on us."